to our third sermon today, our third message today. For those of you who've been following along all day, this one does not have a PowerPoint. All right, so you're just going to have to listen to me. No fancy pictures up on the screen this time. But if you can take your Bibles, we'll read the passage, and then I will pray. And then we're just going to spend a few moments this afternoon walking through the passage. And I think the only one that would have heard any of this before would be Renee, because we're going to do a little bit from our Hebrews study we've been working on. So we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. So we're going to read this passage in a second. I'm going to ask Renee not to answer because I think she knows the answers already. Okay? But if you had to summarize what the book of Hebrews is about. Does anyone know what the book of Hebrews is about? Okay, priesthood of Christ is in there. Especially like chapter 7 area when he's talking about Melchizedek. Okay, probably the most well-known passage in the book. Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith. Anyone else have a guess? An idea what you know? How many would say you've done a study of Hebrews before? You're familiar with the book. Okay, some have. It's one of the books. We'll get into that in a second. It may or may not be Pauline, and a lot of times we focus in on Paul's letters, but this is one that we kind of don't talk about a lot. All right? Okay, I'm going to put Renee on the spot now. Do you remember what we've been talking, what Hebrews, the general idea is? Okay. What the first several chapters you've been saying Jesus is what? Do you remember? Okay, all right. Throughout the entire book, as we're going to study through, we're only going to look at the first chapter today. We're not going to dive into the whole thing, okay? Essentially, the theme of Hebrews could be summed up in three words. And those three words are Jesus is better. Jesus is better. Okay, so let's read this first chapter. I will pray, and I'll kind of elaborate a little bit on that topic, and then we're going to see specifically how that fits within this passage. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 1, and I'll read all 14 of those verses, and then we'll pray. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with oil, with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old, as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which the angel said he at any time, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Let's pray and then work through this passage. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the multiple times already this morning and even now this afternoon that we've been able to gather around your word. We're thankful that the truths that were written over 2,000 years ago are still applicable to our life today. Lord, I pray that as we look at Hebrews chapter 1, that we would gather and glean encouragement for upcoming week, that we can use these truths to be able to serve you better. In Jesus' name, amen. We look at the scope of Hebrews as a whole. It essentially is the author, which if we look at, we don't really know who the author is. The best guess is it's probably Paul. If not Paul, it's probably someone who is very closely related to Paul. Another common guess that people would put is a man named Barnabas who traveled with Paul. A lot of things in the writing sound like Paul. One of the things that's different, Paul always includes his name at the beginning, and Paul always includes a greeting at the end. Hebrews has neither of those. The author of Hebrews never identifies himself. So we don't necessarily know, but the writing style sounds very much like Paul. So if it is not Paul himself, it probably is a companion of Paul. But here's the trick question, the hard question. Who is the audience? Who is this book written to? The Jews, the Hebrew, the people, okay, the Jewish people. This is written, once again, after the time of Christ. What did the Jews, as a group, as a unit, not individually, but as a unit, what did the Jews do to Jesus Christ? They crucified him. They killed him. They rejected him. Once again, if we look through that Passion Week of Jesus Christ, you have Palm Sunday when they're accepting him into the city. But for the most part, why were those Jews accepting him into the city on Palm Sunday? What were they wanting? What were they expecting? A king. They wanted their king. They wanted someone after the family of David, the lion of the tribe of Judah. They wanted the Roman government thrown off. That's what they wanted. Jesus was offering them salvation from spiritual damnation, and that's not what they wanted. They wanted freedom now from the physical oppression of Rome. So they rejected Christ. Now the writer of Hebrews is writing to these group of people who had rejected the physical Christ. And he's writing them an argument saying, hey, you missed it. Jesus is better. All of those things that you think you wanted, Jesus is better. So as you look through, talk through the major parts of the book of Hebrews, this first section, we're not going to spend a lot of time. We could spend a really long time. A few of us have been going through Hebrews as a Bible study, and I think we spent 3 weeks on chapter one. We're not going to spend that long. We're just going to hit the highlights here. But the first couple chapters of the book of Hebrews is the author identifying that Jesus is better than the angels. We kind of read that as it went through there. It says, hey, Jesus, all these things God says about Jesus, he says none of those things about Jesus has been placed in this position of authority, prominence. The enemies are put under his footstool, okay? That never gets said about the angels. Jesus is better than the angels. To a Jewish person, an angel was highly respected. The angels were the ones who brought many of the Old Testament prophecies. The angels were the ones who visited the Jewish people when they said that these special people were coming, when Samson was coming, when others were coming. The angels were the ones who were brought messengers from God. The angels were seen as powerful. The angels were seen as someone who was important. So they were looking forward. They wanted to hear from angels. They had a high value of angels to the Jewish people. Angels were important. And the author here is saying, hey, Jesus, that one who was just here, he's better than those angels. Yes, he's going to act as a messenger of God, but he is God himself, which we'll get into that with verses 1 and 2 here in a second. If you continue on in the book, the next thing that it hits, it says, Jesus is better than Moses. Now, to a Jewish person, Moses is like about as high as you can get. The only other people maybe up there with Moses would be Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation, and potentially David, the king who ruled. But those three are like the top. So now the author here is arguing that Jesus is even better than Moses? To a Jewish person, that's like, what are you talking about? Okay? To put that a little bit into our perspective, okay? We talk about modern-day people, modern-day important Americans. There's a couple Americans that we put there at the very top that we don't really compare people to anymore, okay? Modern-day, once again, most of us have lived through this era. I technically was just shortly born afterwards. Most presidents today get compared to what modern-day president? Reagan. Okay? Once again, like Lindsay, Vanessa, and I might be the only ones who weren't alive for Reagan. You guys probably weren't either. Yes, they're also our age. I'm sorry. I apologize. Okay? They also weren't alive. I missed it by a few months. Okay? He stopped in, what, January something, and I wasn't born until April of 89, so I was just after Reagan. That was my growing up, quick little side story. Growing up, my best friend, his claim to fame in our era was that he was alive during the Reagan presidency, because I think the Reagan presidency ended on like January 20th or something, and he was born on January 19th. And he was like the only one in our friend group who was alive during Reagan, so that was his. He was much better than us. Okay, so today we compare to Reagan, but in American history, there's that upper echelon. You don't compare to Lincoln anymore. Like, nobody's a Lincoln, okay? Nobody's a George Washington. Okay, those were like the top, the pinnacle. To a Jewish person, the Moses. And the author's gonna go through, and we're not gonna spend all our time getting through into all the detail. It takes a long time. But he's saying, hey guys, you missed it. Jesus is even better than Moses. And then he goes in and he talks through Hebrews chapter 7. Because once again, you're talking about Moses, that's that prophet of God, the leader of the people who set up the priesthood of Aaron and the whole sacrificial system. That's how the people communicated and worshiped God. Well, okay, the author is going to say, you do realize that the priesthood of Jesus Christ is better than the priesthood of Aaron. Once again, to a Jew, that's like, what are you talking about? That's impossible. He's like, no, Jesus is better. We get to Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith. All of those great people. You hit immediately into chapter 12 and it says, hey, yeah, you can look at those people that are in the audience. They all did their thing. They all did their time. But who are we supposed to look to? Verse 2, Hebrews 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. And it continues on talking about Jesus. The entire book of Hebrews is all a focus in on the fact that Jesus Christ is better. And that's what he wants the people to understand. So the next time, when you're reading through your Bibles, you're working through the book of Hebrews, just keep those three words in your mind. Okay, Jesus is better. And see how the whole book, all of it is written to that made. It's a lifting up of Jesus to the people. So let's just look at a few highlights here from chapter 1, and then we'll call it an afternoon. Those first two verses set the stage for the entire book. It begins with addressing the people that God had communicated to them. It says, God who at sundry time and in diverse manners. Okay, what he's saying there is God who in multiple ways for a long period of time communicated to you, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. He's referencing the Old Testament there. Once again, we talked about this in the morning service, that the Bible is God's revelation of himself to us. It tells us who he is, what he has done, and how we're supposed to respond to him. That's the Old Testament. It's to the fathers, by the prophets. But he says that's what he used to do. Now look at what he's done recently. Verse 2. It says, hath in these last days. Most of these people that the author of Hebrews is writing to were alive during the time of Jesus Christ. They potentially would have seen him, met him, or at least have heard about him. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. That Old Testament, once again, Old Testament's good. I'm not downplaying the Old Testament in any sense here. We need it. It's important. But he's saying in the Old Testament, sure, he sent angels in different ways, different manners. Okay, sometimes he wrote it down in stone with the Ten Commandments. There's other ways that God spoke in the Old Testament to reveal himself, God's revelation of himself to mankind. But now in the New Testament time period, how has he done it? He came himself, his Son, the Word of God. Jesus Christ, when talking to his disciples, when they said, Jesus, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus says, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. God says, hey, I'm revealing myself. I'm showing you who him. Here's my Son. That's how he begins this book, the elevation of Jesus Christ. He's going to compare him to the angels. And he says all of these great things. Who is this Jesus? In that verse it says, who he appointed heir of all things. He made the world, so he's their creation. The brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. This is who God is. Upholding all things by the word of his power, which he had by himself purged our sins, or when he had. And he goes in and he's continually comparing, say, how great Jesus Christ is that he is better than these angels. So as we're talking through this with the Bible study, we talked about this. We go off on a lot of rabbit trails. We get off distracted, talk about random things. But one of the thoughts is this. We asked kind of how we're different than the angels, because in chapter 2, it's going to get into that, how Jesus is better than the angels. Even though he became a man, he still maintained that he was better than angels. Angels sinned. Angels fell. Think about this, though. What is the difference between us and angels? Angels were not created in the image of God. We were. When the angels fell, is there anything recorded of how God sought to bring them back? No. The angels, when they fell, were gone. When mankind sinned, what did God do to bring us back? He sent his son. So here, the author of Hebrews is getting into it. He's placing him as, he's showing how Jesus Christ is better than the angels. But he's also emphasizing the fact that this Jesus, who is far better than the angels, is God's demonstration of his love toward us. That he willingly said, you know what? They fell, they sinned. I could be done with them. I could be moving on to the next thing, but I'm going to make my son come to earth to pay the punishment for their sin. We just read that. That this all came about when, in verse 3, when he had himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. That concept of Jesus there being in the throne room, sitting down, because he'd paid the punishment for our sin. We went through, once again, that whole concept of Jesus being better, and he's going to compare it to the priesthood and the Levitical system and all the sacrifices. If you read through Hebrews 6, Hebrews 7, Hebrews 8, that concept of sitting down, when do you sit down? When you're done, when it's over, when you're when it's finished. The sacrificial system, the Old Testament, those priests, they were never done. They daily had to offer sacrifices. It didn't stop. Why? Because the people of Israel didn't stop sinning. So the animal sacrifices kept having to be offered. If you look at the instruments there in the temple, there were no seats made for the priests. The only seat was the mercy seat that was for God in the holiest of holies. The priests didn't get to rest. Their job was never done, because the blood of sacrifice of animals only covered, only pointed people towards the future when one day a sacrifice would come. But Jesus came and paid the punishment once. It was done. It was over. And then he sat down. The job was finished. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. That's not a position angels get to sit. That's not a position we get to sit. But it's what Christ did for us. It's what Christ was willing to do, because he loved us, he cared about us, and came to pay the punishment for our sin. Because of that, we then have access to the Father. It's once again mentioned later on in the book of Hebrews that we may come boldly before the throne, because he is there acting as our intercessor. Jesus Christ is better. Last thought as we wrap this up, that Jesus Christ is better should make us thankful for what he has done for us. That he loved us enough that he willingly took on the cross, willingly took on our sin. When it says it uses that term in that verse, we see it in verse 6. We see it in verse, kind of in verse 5, that he became the first begotten into the world. Jesus came, he took the punishment in order to bring us and reconcile us to God. He's the firstborn. He's the first of the creation. He's going to say later on that that he is the captain. This comes in chapter 2. I'm going to not go totally blank on the verse. But it talks about him being the captain of our salvation. In chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. He went on before us. He secured us a place in heaven. And we have a redemption that we can sing out and praise him about for all eternity. So as we leave today, once again, it's just a short thought, a quick thought. As you look at the book of Hebrews, as we understand it, we read through Hebrews chapter 1. To remember that Jesus Christ is better. To the Jews, once again, he's writing specifically to the Jews. They could have placed their trust in an angelic messenger. They could have placed their trust in Moses. They could have placed their trust in the Levitical system. But none of that mattered because God had revealed himself to them through his Son. For us today, there may be many other things that we may put in the place. Well, this is important, this is important, this is important. But let us be reminded, just as the author of Hebrews here is working to remind the Jewish people of as well, that Jesus Christ is above all of those things. That what he has done for us on the cross is something that we should be continually thankful for. Once again, we looked at that aspect of, he didn't come to rescue angels. The angels that fell, they don't have a chance to be redeemed. We get to be redeemed. Let us be thankful for that each and every day.